outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
You campaigned for weeks, held barbecues, shook hands, and kissed babies. Now, you are in complete control of the planned community covenants, and you rule with an iron fist.
A development dynasty.
Yes, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, you enforce fence heights, garbage container uniformity, and lawn watering schedules armed with the wisdom of King Solomon.
It's my hedge to hire your grace.
You even judge the holiday decorating contest.
And your house always wins, yeah.
So the next time you're digging up your mailbox post because it's 1.5 inches too short, put down your shovel and raise your arm and salute to the Sultan of Suburbia, Mr. Neighborhood Association President, a real American hero.
Mr. Neighborhood Association President.
What? No, I wasn't going to put in a pool. No, not me.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Hello. It's Wednesday, May 26th. Good morning. Welcome to the show. We're back live.
It's a hump day bump.
It is a hump day bump. You know, I just realized it's going to be a holiday on Monday. You know, Memorial Day. We have a three-day weekend.
That's why people are asking me when I'm doing Memorial Day.
Oh, I see.
Here.
Now you know.
But did you when did you remember?
When I made hold on just a second, TJ. We have TJ in the studio. We'll bring him in just a second. And I was trying to set an interview for a guest, and they reminded me that Monday is a holiday.
So we'll
see. I haven't decided if we're going to come in or not yet, but we'll see, depending on the plans.
Well, are you going to do anything fun? Are you going to do, like, a hot pool party?
Maybe.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
You guys don't have a pool, right?
No, we don't have a pool.
No, you can't do a pool then.
We can do a pool party at someone else's pool.
You can. I'll keep my eyes posted.
Yeah.
I'll keep my ears and my eyes posted. You know, I think I live in a really cool spot, but I think that there's a sober living space that's
mm-hmm.
kind of she-she
yeah.
by my house. Like, not the crunchy ones, but the real, like, somebody's got some cash type sober living.
Uh-huh.
And they got a kick-ass, awesome pool. And
really?
They throw a lot of parties. I'd like to go to the sober living house.
Yeah, for sober parties.
For Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They're always rocking and rolling, man. I think there's some celebs going on.
They
probably aren't
know
any
what's
booze.
Going
or
on.
Maybe there's booze, but maybe not. I don't know. But
yeah. Yeah.
No. But I can come pre-lit.
Yeah.
And then just get my cannonball on and be like, peace, thanks for the hot
go.
Dog.
Yeah, you'd fit in quite well. Being lit and everything and going there to a party. Kara, we have TJ in the studio. TJ McCormick, I asked him to stay with us for a few minutes this morning because TJ is a very active person. And, of course, you've got a show. His show comes on right before ours from 7 to 9. And, I got the wrong mic
there
for TJ.
There you go.
That's why you're talking. I can't hear you. Yeah, you see, even me, 2.5 years and I still can't remember. So TJ went and participated or organized the protest. Did you organize it?
I really don't want to take credit for organizing in the sense that people would imagine. No, I was one of the organizers in the sense that I hosted it.
Mm-hmm.
I emceed it. I opened it up and brought I made my opening salvo and then brought up other speakers and stuff like that and then opened it up because it was also a press conference. That was how we build it. It was a protest and
uh-huh.
press conference. And at one point it dawned on me, I'm standing there in front of all these reporters. I'm this guy who yaps and yaps constantly,
uh-huh.
as you know, for a couple of years now
uh-huh.
about all the ills of Los Angeles and I come in here and now I've got cameras and microphones shoved in my face and I'm like, any questions? Do any of you have anything you want to ask me? Or any of us but me? Anybody want to ask me a question? And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It felt great. So, yeah,
tell us what the protest was about. Why did you guys do this?
Well, you know, look, there's the law in Arizona, and it became a kind of a pop culture thing, or rather a pop thing to go ahead and now boycott, because that's the ultimate liberal tool. It's boycott Arizona. The city of Los Angeles decided about a week and a half, 10, 12 days ago, that they were going to make a statement about the illegal immigration law in Arizona, which really is just a federal law made local, and boycott the state of Arizona, which really means that, there's a couple of different black and white issues that, where there's no gray area. By protesting against a law, by boycotting against a law, is against the illegal immigration, there is no other way to interpret it but that you are standing on the side of illegal immigrants,
right,
illegal aliens.
Right.
That, I may be playing some semantics there, but there's no gray area in that. Now, the other problem here is that the city of Los Angeles, not only did they decide to do something that stood on the side of illegal activity, but they decided to, the method by which they decided to protest was to punish law-abiding business owners in another state.
Right. Now this is a boycott by the government?
By the city of Los Angeles.
By the city.
They canceled contracts. About eight months. Ah, that is another thing, too. Shows you really where the liberal guts are here, which is there's nowhere. All right? This was pandering to Latinos. That's all this is. This is why you can also say that it was a racist move on their part. Mm-hmm. Because this law has nothing to do with ethnicity, with race. It has to do with nationality.
Right.
And so what they did was they made it a race issue because it's all about Latinos and it's all about the Latino voting bloc in Los Angeles.
Right.
That's all this about. So they're pandering. And anyway, so the thing is they what was your question again? I'm sorry.
What was my question?
Well, I've got a
couple. I meant, is it just the city?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
It's boycotting?
Forgive me. Yes. It's the city of Los Angeles. And what they did was they canceled, and I don't know what these contracts were for. There were city contracts with vendors, about $8 million worth, okay? It could have been a construction project. It could have been maybe they supply, you know, canned coffee to City Hall. I don't know what the contracts were.
So it's not a lot of money, but they wanted to make a statement.
Because they didn't have the nerve to make the big statement and say, look, U.S. Airways, you're based in Phoenix. U.S. Airways, you must now stop all flights in and out of LAX because you do better. No, they didn't have the nerve to do that. Mm. They didn't have the nerve to say, we're going to stop buying electricity from you. They didn't have the nerve to do that. And any of these other real big ticket things. And thirdly, this all comes under the umbrella of, what the hell does this have to do with your job as an LA city councilman?
Right.
That's what I heard you saying on the press. And I thought, well, because when I heard about it, I was like, okay, well, this is the statement you're making, but is it even within your legal right to do it this way?
Right.
That's what I'm really curious about that. Can they actually put a legal mandate?
It's their choice. I mean, like they can make contracts with people and then break them. I mean, you know, that's what they're doing. Sure. I mean, look, is it ethical to break a contract? No. Is it ethical to take money out of somebody's pocket who has nothing to do? I mean, the state of Arizona, the legislature, they passed. Okay, they passed a law. It was signed by the governor. So the city of Los Angeles thinks, well, we'll show them. We'll get at this bunch of business owners over here. We'll take money out of their pocket in order to make a statement against the legislature of Arizona. Again, the fact that we're even talking about this is mind-numbing because it has nothing to do with their job. Their job is to run the city of Los Angeles, not make statements, not pass judgment, nothing at all to do with their job, their oath of office.
Right.
Nothing.
And we have a lot of Latinos in the city government here, right?
Sure,
yeah.
Tons.
I mean, our mayor is.
Our friggin' mayor is. Yeah,
yeah, so that's why they're taking sides, huh?
That's all. That's all it is.
Can
it's pandering.
Can we go back to the Arizona law? We had Noel Napor on last night. I mean, yesterday morning.
Who TJ knows.
Noel, yeah.
And we were talking about it, and from my understanding, and I think Sam's as well, we were thinking that the law within Arizona was only going to be looking for quote-unquote papers if you're caught in some kind of crime or act, or you were speeding or something, and they have the right to question your nationality.
Right.
And I didn't find that to be a problem.
Right.
Now, other things are starting to come out. Even Noelle said this, that they're starting to now question, like, teachers of that have really thick Hispanic accents. They're starting to kind of propose going down these other deeper profiling, paths that are more offensive, and even like Republicans are kind of saying, well, that's too much. So.
Yeah, well, I don't think that, I think it's a whole separate law. That has nothing to do with this law. They're not going to be like investigating teachers with accents. They were more or less talking about different, they were talking about their education system there. Right. That's a whole separate issue. Now, it's not like part of this anti-immigration law, anti-illegal immigration law. Is that what you were thinking?
We just talked about the different things that are possibilities of what they've been thrown around, which is, you know, those kind of profiling.
Well, you know, I don't see that as profiling. That's more like job description and job qualification. Again, it's not like they're going to be getting tips, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm not getting it right, but they're not going to be looking for tips on, hey, look, there's a teacher at the community college with a real thick accent, and they may not have paperwork. I don't think that's what you're saying is possibility, but there is a possibility they're toying around with some notions about their education system. And first of all, one of the things they're talking about is banning classes that teach subversive theories like overthrowing the government and stuff like that. I think there was some talk about that. My personal feeling on a teacher with a thick accent, I find that to be stupid, overreaching. I had Dr. Alvarez at the Stepanak High School, my Catholic high school. Dr. Alvarez was a refugee from Cuba. He came over on a raft, and the way he would talk about Fidel was unbelievable, the things he experienced. And he was already an older fella by the time I had him in the late 80s. So he wasn't like some Elian Gonzalez who was smuggled out. He was in his 30s when he escaped from and as a very educated man, you'd imagine he probably had some heat on him. I wish I knew then what I knew now. I would have asked him some interesting questions.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had an unbelievably thick accent. It was almost impossible to discern when he was speaking English.
Right.
I have no problem with somebody with an accent. I would hope there was. But the one concern they do have, though, is when someone with a very thick accent who may have gotten their credentials, etc., and yet they're teaching English as a second language, now there might be a problem. And that, to me, look, it could be a politically correct notion to say that person over here with very thick accent could be a thick Polish accent. All right? If they're teaching English as a second language, that's a problem for the student trying to learn English.
Right. Mm.
So,
not only that, you know, but my kids constantly complain about teachers that they can't understand. You know, he's teaching you physics, he's teaching you calculus, and you don't understand what the hell they're talking about, you know. So that's a separate issue, I think. But at the same time, you know, I think we've got a serious enough problem here that it's okay to profile some people, you know?
Sure.
And, I mean, if you have your papers, then you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Right? And that's the other thing, too, is that what we said, too, and I said this a few times yesterday, is that, look, the old saying, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Right.
This is something that people who don't live in a border state could never understand.
Can help break it down, then, because, I mean, I've heard of some things from people that live about 50, 60 miles away from the border and not being able to leave because their house becomes occupied. What is it that they're really facing down there that we don't
70% of murders in recent history have been committed by illegal aliens.
Really?
Yeah.
Just in Arizona?
Yeah.
Okay.
Home invasions are spiking, especially within that range or along the near the border or whatever. And recently, yesterday, there was a representative of this guy's family. I'm blanking on the man's name. He was a rancher who was shot dead on his ranch by a coyote, a guy who was, you know, like a smuggler of illegal aliens. It's happening within that proximity to the border. Home invasion is just skyrocketing. Crimes are committed in a majority tend to be illegal aliens these days, and also the other illegal alien related crimes. Identity theft is through the roof in Arizona. Through the roof. The selling of false documents is off the charts in Arizona right now.
So they so people don't understand how serious the problem is.
No, and the quality of life issues, you know, and again, the other aspect of it too is, again, and that's something that people just don't understand outside of these border states. Again, the thing that used to happen in the old-timey Godfather era, the tired and huddled masses, that era of immigration at the turn of the century through Ellis Island, those people came here. And, you know, they couldn't wait to be Americans,
right.
You know, and at the same time, they weren't about to totally abandon. I mean, we have so much culture from all over the world because we are a nation of immigrants. But it's a bunch of immigrants who came here with their culture, became Americans,
right.
And said, hey, try this from my country. Try that. I'm an American. You know, Teddy Roosevelt at the turn of the century was saying, hyphenated Americans, hyphenated whatever, a hyphenated person has no place in America.
Mm.
You know, right. Mexican American, Irish American. You know, and that's another thing too. You know, I'm Irish American. You make a reference just to sort of be specific. Oh yeah, because that what you say is if a person like me whose family came over like a generation ago. We'll say it as an identifying thing. It kind of shows you what my family might be like. It gives you, and if I say I'm an Irish American, you can right away say, you're Catholic. You probably got some priests in your family. You probably got a couple of cops in your family. Oh, yeah, that's the kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But these days, when people say I'm a Mexican American, I'm African American, it's basically saying I'm over here.
Yeah.
I'm separate from you.
I'm not entirely American.
I'm this kind of American. I'm this American. That's not what immigration is about, not here.
Right.
You know, and that's where political correctness has taken us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So going back to the issue with city council, talk about going, like, how are you guys received? I mean, I saw you, I thought you did great. I thought you used humor.
Mm-hmm.
I always find that sometimes when people get too sensationalist with it, mm-hmm. Even if it's true,
right.
It can lose people that maybe are the middle that are looking
totally.
For the right answer. I mean, mm-hmm. some people are just closed, but then there's people that are really like on the swing of everything mm-hmm. and they're just looking for what they feel is truth.
Sure.
And sometimes the sensationalism just throws them off, even if it's true.
Right.
So I really respect the fact that you kind of laid that aside a bit and mm-hmm. you were like, boom, point. And he was really funny.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I saw that the interviewer said to you was like, he immediately brought up being a Tea Party,
right?
And then he had a little dig and a bash about
neocons and
when has it become? I mean, when is Tea Party? It's considered bad. It's not bad. Public speak. I mean, people can get in any corporate crowd and and throw it off and be nuts, right?
But, sure. Right.
But Tea Parties are. I mean, where did that? What is all that about?
Well, I mean, look. Yeah, you have everybody from people like Nancy Pelosi, elected officials in this country, to Janine Garofalo and Bill Maher basically painting and Hillary Clinton and the bunch painting Tea Parties as rich white racist Americans, rich white racists. That's really how Hollywood and unfortunately leaders liberal politicians in this country paint. So you know right away you're on the defensive. And there's also the extreme, you know, the birther thing, birth certificates, and other things that people consider to be extreme. Although I tell you, some of the stuff is kind of compelling when you get into that. There's recent news about social security numbers and such. But anyway, sticking to your thing. I deflected it, and we did quickly deflect because it was not a Tea Party event. It was a combination of the Republican Party of Los Angeles, conservatives in general. I'm a conservative before I'm a Republican. And and the Tea Party element, the bit of it that was Tea Party-esque was simply the fact that we were out there talking.
That's what I'm saying. It's almost like an intimidation factor to kind of try to like, you know, you guys can't assemble. You can't, you know,
it's the first time I ever did it. I've stood on tables in college cafeterias and done stand-up comedy at noon. Now that's scary and that's creepy and that's, you know, I've done that. I hosted Woodstock 99. I mean, I've never stood on the steps of City Hall.
Yeah.
I've never done that.
Yeah.
And that's what I told the guy at NBC. I told him, I said, I've never been here before. I said, but, you know, because he asked about the disconnect and he asked about the Tea Party movement. Because he goes, this is the first time we've covered anything that's pro this law and et cetera, et cetera. And I said, hey, I said, the reason I'm here is because, I said, this is one influence at a Tea Party. It emboldened us.
Yeah.
You know, it showed us that you can actually do it. And more regular people are getting ticked off.
The stats show that majority, what they think is white rich men, is actually moms. Majority of Tea Party people are moms.
Well, because, again, there is a very, look, part of the message that is very accessible. And it was the drum you heard me beating yesterday. You didn't hear me talk much about the law that we were in favor of, okay?
Right.
Which also most Americans are in favor of, let alone 70%. Look, you can just do a little bit of deductive math, which is, I can't do it, but somebody else can. 70% of Arizonans agree with this law. 30% of the population of Arizona, a full 30%, is legal Hispanics. If 70% of Arizonans, all right, 30% of Arizonans are legal Hispanics. This is still a number that I'm dying to know a poll of, and I just don't have the time to go there and do a poll because I don't know how to do them. I'd love to know the number of legal Hispanics that support this law. We had three or four yesterday out of a handful of people that showed up. We had a good a percentage were Hispanics yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, a lot of it is very practical. And again, the drum you heard me beating was do your job.
Yeah.
Last summer was the summer of discontent with the healthcare reform. Mm-hmm. And it was all those town hall meetings.
Right.
And the congressman would show up and he'd be shouted down. Ada! Well, what were they shouting? They were shouting, read the bill. Do your job. You represent us. Don't you go and pass this. Don't you pass this, because we're here telling you. It was old-time American politics.
Yeah.
You know, people last summer found out the name of their congressman, and when they knew their congressman was at the local Holiday Inn doing a town hall, they showed up, and so did the press, and they told them, do your job. Well, here, the City Hall of Los Angeles, we got $200 million debt. We got...
$200 million?
$200 million in debt.
Wow.
Right now. City of Los Angeles. Gangs. People dying. There was a period, I said in that interview yesterday, it was a period of 7 days where 20 murders were committed. Right now, to date, there's 276 murders in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is almost a full third, full quarter larger, square miles-wise, than New York City.
Wow.
All right? How many cops do you think New York City has? Top yet.
10,000?
Okay. 43,000 cops.
What? Are you serious?
There's 43,000 police officers, sworn police officers in New York City.
New York City alone.
Los Angeles, and that's just the five boroughs, and that's about 300-something square miles.
Right.
Los Angeles has 470 square miles, okay? Less than half the population, I'll grant you that, okay? I'll grant you that. I don't care if there's 50 people that live in Los Angeles. There's that much more square mile. Anyway, 43,000 police officers, city of New York, less than 10,000. We have 9,000 and change cops in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We have 9,000 cops in Los Angeles. 43,000 crammed into 300 square miles in New York. We got 9,000 spread out over almost 500 square miles. That is the kind of mess. You go anywhere. They just said recently, we can't fix the sidewalks. All these sidewalks that have these, because they planted stupid trees that have massive root things. So you go, you can't ride a bike. You can't go running. You're going to break your face. You go jogging. And how many times? We have sidewalks that look like roller coasters. We have potholes. We have cracks. We have water mains that are exploding. There were small businesses that paid massive Ventura Boulevard rent in Studio City that were flooded when that flood hit.
Yes.
Coldwater Canyon, the water mains broke. And by the way, those water mains exploded because the city council decided we're going to start rationing water. You can only water your lawn Mondays and Thursdays. Well, it turns out their stupid plan put so much stress, the changing water pressure. Monday, boom, everybody's watering their lawn. Tuesday, Wednesday, no water. Boom. At Thursday, everybody was. That caused such an uneven pressure change that the water mains blew up.
Really?
That's why.
So that's what happened.
That's what happened. So City Hall caused the problem, okay? And anyway, so there's infrastructure problems. There's violence problems. That is what they're here to do. Take care of that. Not take a stand against the friggin' state of Arizona, a sovereign state with states' rights doing its thing. And, you know, so really, so we have got massive problems in Los Angeles. $200 million debt. They just raised fees yesterday. When we left City Hall, they had a vote. They raised fees on ambulance rides.
Mm-hmm.
Emergency services fees are now up. It's absolutely stunning. So emergency fees are about to go up, and other municipal fees. this is what the city of Los Angeles
you compared it to Detroit. Mm-hmm. The direction, and the guy was like, oh, mm-hmm. that's a stretch. What did you think about that?
He said it's a big stretch. I said, it's a big stretch. I said, but you know what, I said we got big problems. And it is a big stretch, but you know what, you had a major industry there basically go under. You had a big problem with General Motors and the auto industry under. But you also have to look at the fact that you had a Democrat administration, a bunch of liberals in there. A guy who just went to jail yesterday for 18 months, Kwame Kilpatrick, a guy who was accused of all kinds of corruption. That guy's about to go to jail. He was the mayor of Detroit when all this went down. We've got a city council that is not business friendly. Businesses are leaving. Instead of one major industry, we've got a whole bunch of small and medium sized businesses that are leaving California, Los Angeles in particular, because it's
bad business climate.
It's very bad business climate. The
it's been that way
tax.
For a while though, right?
And it's starting to show. And the thing is no, listen. Runaway production has been happening, Vancouver, Toronto. Now Louisiana is just jumping with production, New Orleans, the Carolinas.
Michigan.
Michigan has got a lot of production. There's another couple of states that I'm blanking on that are really, really picking up. Florida, that are picking up a lot of television and film production. And they're just going to keep on going because those are much more because those places are giving tax breaks to allow the industry to come to them.
Yeah.
That's Los Angeles, man. You know, I just don't see how it can get better. The housing prices are still tumbling. There was a recent little bump, but that's just because the $8,000 home buyer credit that just expired three weeks ago.
Okay.
So that was the bump, right? Again, our house, we're right now trying to finish the short sale of our house. Less than 3 years ago, we paid $675. We are about to potentially sell our house for $440,000. And there's a lot more where that came from. There's a lot more. Los Angeles is really on the brink of major, major problems. Much more major. Imagine. I mean, look, man, the summer's coming. You know, this is when gangs, man, this is when they multiply. This is when gangs get to business. And if they know, look, you call 911 now, you're on hold. You know, you're on hold. And I called to report a guy smoking crack. It was between here and home. One day I drove by and I saw a guy smoking crack out of a Pepsi can.
Mm-hmm.
in a park. I saw him from at a red light. And I called 911. It's like, it's a freaking guy out of the park. He's smoking crack right there. Mm-hmm. I'm on hold. And I'm on hold. I was on hold all the way home.
Yeah. But I don't see that they come out for something like that, though, right?
But normally, I mean, in New York, they would.
Really?
Because they got 43,000 cops.
Yeah.
Here we got 9,000 spread out over all these square. And by the way, these 9,000 cops, are they full time? No, not anymore, because they're on furlough now. Because they're furloughing cops and they're furloughing. They're cutting back on overtime, and they're also cutting back on their civilian police force. The civilians, the phone operators, the clerks, the paper pushers, all that. So the police department also hires its civilians, not its sworn officers. They're on furlough big time.
We're talking a lot about kind of the defense of the management and the protection of the city, and I kind of want to take it to a little bit more of a the broader picture with the country. And somebody told me this. I cannot remember what the three steps were, but to basically. There's three steps that have to take place for a dictatorship to happen, and it's take away this, take away that, and then take away their right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
It's these three things in which all three of them are kind of in jeopardy right now in our country. And it's I don't know if you're familiar with those three things are. It's in order for a dictatorship to step in,
right.
There's three things that you do to disable a country, and one of them is the right to bear arms. And I see a lot of that where military defense and everything is going down. But it's like. It's about like taking over. I should look it up.
Right. Yeah. I was gonna say. Yeah. Do like a quick Google search because it's something like along the lines of yeah. I mean you want to take away their arms. That's for sure. I would just Google like three steps to communism or something like that. You know, or three steps to dictatorship or something. It'll pop up.
And I know it sounds extreme, but it's
Well, no, it is extreme. And actually, you know, listen, again, these are extreme times. You got definitely the whole idea of the arms. This is kind of like Alinsky's rules, you know. One idea is to set the people against themselves. Oh, the press. You want to control the press, I think, is probably another one of them. Information. You want to control information. That's an aspect of it I would imagine would be in there, some version of that. But you also, you know, I mean, we're seeing aspects of that kind of thing with this administration, the idea of dividing the people amongst themselves, especially along racial and class lines, you know.
Yeah.
You have President Obama, you know, making – slamming – slamming, you know, Wall Street fat cats. Hey, poor people. Look at the rich guys. You should be angry at them. They get a vote for me and my party, and we'll take care of them fat cats. We'll keep them. We'll try to skinny them down a little bit, and we'll give you some of the fat.
So
we have a nation divided. We have a nation very successfully divided right now along racial lines.
Yeah,
with a black president.
Yeah. Well, I think it's been going on for a long time.
It has been. It's just now the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah.
But the pushback is happening, gang. The pushback is happening. And it's days like yesterday.
You know that they removed your video. Now there's something else there. I was trying to play this. Here we go. Hold on.
Rally this morning.
Good. There it is.
Okay. This is
the city of LA's boycott.
Thank God. I hope they
we're going to play you the interview that TJ did and the comments afterwards. So.
KTLA's Jesse Gary has made his way to City Hall and he has more on the protest. Jesse.
Kayla, good morning to you. Good morning to Frank. Yeah, what would it be without a protest? So we got to protest something. How about we protest L.A. City Hall? And as you said, their stance and boycotting the state of Arizona. I'm joined now by T.J. McCormack with LATalkRadio.com.
Yeah.
We're a little early for the boycott.
For the huge,
8:45.
Massive movement
the throngs of humanity that will descend.
It's going to descend of conservative humanity. It's going to descend upon the
I'm going to take the devil's advocate position.
Sure.
So you can argue.
Okay.
Tea parties, they're way out there. Mm-hmm. They're far neocons,
okay,
et cetera.
Okay.
Why are you coming down here and boycotting? You know, go about your lives.
We're boycotting because, well, we are residents of Los Angeles. We're all tax-paying Los Angelinos, and we see a city that's crumbling. We see a city that is falling apart, potentially the next Detroit. We're $200 million at last count.
Come on now, next Detroit, that's a little strong.
Well, that's a little strong, but you know what? Then again, so are our problems. We've got water mains exploding at 100. 100 last year blew up. Anyway, the whole point is that this city council, at the end of a period of about 7 days in which there were 20 murders, on the eighth day, they decided to stick their nose into the business of the state of Arizona and stand with illegal activity, which is really the only way you can look at it. They decided to boycott Arizona, cancel around $8 million in contracts, meaning they were punishing law-abiding business owners in the state of Arizona. All of this shouldn't be happening in the first place because they are the City Council of Los Angeles. None of this has anything to do with their job description at all. Fix the city.
So they're standing up for what they see as an injustice,
right,
no matter where it is.
Which is not their job description. Nah, that's not their job description. What's right is to do their job. 3 days a week, they got to show up. They make $180,000 a year. They get a car and gas. This is what they get for the
mass. That's sweet, though.
It's a sweet job, but you know, it'd be nice if they did their job. Nowhere in their oath of office, nowhere in their job description does it say, we shall meddle in the business of another state, let alone another city.
Okay, I got to wrap.
Thank you.
Give me an idea. You're going to show up, and what do you do when you come in, when the
we
Tea Party comes out?
We scream, shout, first we have barbecue. No. We're gonna get together a whole bunch of people on the South Lawn of City Hall, and we're basically what we're gonna tell them is, and it's the Tea Party, Republican Party of Los Angeles. We're gonna tell them do their job.
Gotcha.
Do their job.
Yeah. Cool. 8:45 this morning.
8:45 South Lawn. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That is the latest, Mikhail and Frank from LA. 8:45 this morning. Do your job at the City Council.
He's we'll got a lot to say, Jesse. All right. Thanks
yes,
so much.
Yes, and he says it fast.
Yeah, he does. He's a radio guy.
I love that, man. That's classic.
By the way, you know what?
Yeah.
And this is inside baseball, but you know what, man? The hack wouldn't even know what to do with this.
Yeah, yeah.
He wouldn't even know.
Why was he taking sides? I mean, he's a fucking reporter.
I thought the same thing. I was like, that's called a journalistic opinion.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that guy. I'm talking about our mutual old friend.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Wouldn't even know what to do with this.
Yeah.
Has no friggin' idea. Sitting in somebody's basement right now with a bell. Ding, ding, ding. F you. Anyway.
I know you're talking about, but
exactly. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, yeah. Well, my wife told me I should say this. Douche. Anyway. It's that was really great, man. That guy. I tell you what. I don't want to go off the record here, but put it this way: that guy actually he was definitely playing devil's advocate.
Yeah. But he said that. He said.
Yeah, and he said he's playing devil's advocate. And because you know what? Look, what he said was actually what a lot of people watching or driving by or watching the news last night would have been thinking. You had a bunch of neocons who are going to stand here and shout because they don't like brown people. And I tell you, here's the thing too. And I got to tell. I'm telling. This is the truth. I could not. If ever I was speaking the truth, it's right now. This, God strike me dead if I'm lying. I still have yet to meet a conservative or anybody with any of my like-minded opinions about Barack Obama, about this law, about illegal aliens, or anything else that has any concern or problem with race. I do not care. The conservatives I know do not care. Matter of fact, conservatism at its best, at its purest, racism flies in the face of. Racism is everything that conservatism is not. A real American conservative capitalist loves to see success from on every level, in every sector of society.
Yeah.
Right.
It really, and I cannot be any more honest. Our problem with this law has, as a matter of fact, one of the true organizers, went to get the permit and all that, guy named Gary Aminoff. Mm-hmm. Gary is a great American and a great conservative. He's first vice chairman of the Republican Party of Los Angeles. That guy was stood there on, he was on KCAL 9, and he said, look, if this was because of an influx of Swedes,
mm-hmm. yeah.
we'd be all over anything. This. We don't care where the illegals are coming from. We don't care. It's the fact that they're here illegally and committing crimes and not paying taxes, stealing identities, etc., infiltrating our schools and being a drain on the system. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we would still have a problem if the LA City Council was boycotting Arizona because there was a bunch of 6'2" blonde Swedish people.
Right, right.
Yeah, so again, well, not race. It's not race. I cannot. It's amazing. We are not hateful. We are not. It's not about race. I'm telling you. It drives me nuts when if I hear about one of my if my wife and I know some Brit. Who you know? Yeah, to overstay the visa, and they're working for working for In-N-Out. You know, we'd be just as angry as some British friend of hers if that was the case.
Yeah.
It drives us crazy when people are here undocumented.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, I'm here to say you should run for city office.
I would love to, man. But you know what? Well, this is the ideal thing. You know, yesterday I said, God, I've never been on the city hall steps, and I said, oh God, I hate now they know who the hell I am. Right? I was thinking it was a nice little bit of anonymity. I got now I'm going to get friggin' audited by the state and the city friggin', right? And I said, you know what?
Helicopters over your house and shit.
Exactly. And I tell you what, though, I'm doing it right, though, because just so happens, I'm moving. So it's like, this is how you do it. Sure, go to City Hall, scream at them, and get the hell out of town.
You go.
I got a month where I got to try to make it without them friggin' harassing me. That's next, though. I'm telling you, that's next.
Do you really think that they do that?
I guess so. I don't know. You know what? Probably not. You know what? They can't get other stuff done. I would imagine they don't have the time or the wherewithal or the brains to harass me. You know, I'm sure it happens on a bigger scale in other ways, but maybe not.
Conservatives are scared in L.A., right? There's a lot of underground meetings. I have a friend that goes to an underground meeting. And I say underground as in, like, people in the business of entertainment that don't want to disclose their political affiliations.
Well, if your friend is telling you that, they should be chided because they shouldn't be telling you that.
Well, she...
Unless you're a member, she shouldn't be telling you that.
I know, but that's my point exactly, is just the fact that you and I just had that little conversation about the anonymity of the group.
Tell your friend.
It's hysterical. She's actually not part of it because...
Well, then she needs to really shut the hell up.
Well, my point is that why is it so secretive? Because
people lose jobs. People lose relationships.
I think that more fear and it breeds more fear. And if you're not willing to stand up and lose something for what you believe, you're only perpetuating...
It's all about timing.
Perpetuating this fear thing. I think when people shrink in fear, it gives it more power to...
Nothing fearful about what these... As a matter of fact, it's about retribution. It's about retaliation.
Yeah.
It's about setting the record straight and moving forward with our own message. If anything, you know what? Everybody's going to... Put it this way. I just finished saying this again on my show this morning. In the 70s, they had Watergate. They got their man. They had the biggest I told you so in the history of politics. The biggest I told you. We told you this guy was a crook. We told you Vietnam was awful. We told you. And they got it. And they got their man. And it was a couple of liberals, Bernstein, Woodward and Bernstein at the Post. They, all the president's men, they got him. And it has been a liberal free-for-all ever since. Mm. And one of the biggest things has been, you know, one of the biggest, most growing aspects that like a mushroom, like a fungus of liberalism has been political correctness. Well, you know, political correctness has now gone from not handicapped, handicapable. That kind of joke, that kind of punchline, right? That kind of laughable punchline.
Oh my God.
Well, that's how political correctness started, right? It went from Negro to African, Afro-American, African. Now, you go, what the hell are we calling who what? It's gone from that kind of silliness to now there's, now it's got blood on its hands. Liberals have blood on their hands, and it happened at Fort Hood. Earlier this year when that guy, when that Muslim guy, in the name of Allah, that Muslim army guy, shot up and killed 13 people at Fort Hood. Mm-hmm. That was political correctness that now has killed people because they admitted it. There were people doing psychological profiles of this guy who did not report him to, and this is not from the blogosphere, this was in the news, this is a fact. They didn't report this Muslim guy because he was a Muslim and they didn't want retribution for turning this guy in for obvious insanity, but because he was a Muslim, they held back. The army held back from turning him over to higher authorities. That's political correctness. Anyway, the point is, the pushback has begun. Their Watergate is now in Washington. Their Waterloo. This is now the liberal Watergate where we have told you so. We told you so about political correctness. It's now it's starting to affect our national security. We've got an attorney general who won't say Islamic radical. We've got a president who apologizes to the Islamic world and rebukes and shows disrespect to Israel. We told you so. We told you so. We told you so. We've got a guy who is not a friend of Israel and is more of a sympathetic ear to places like groups like Hezbollah, etc., etc. This is now the pushback has begun. We're tired of being told what to do, and we're tired of all. So anyway, on the show business end of things, on the conservatism in Los Angeles type of thing, yeah, you know what? I lost work. I lost jobs. I had representation walk away from me. Very powerful representation. I lost relationships with everywhere from ICM to other things. Well, I mean, I walked away, but still, it was like, you know, there were people that wanted to produce a television show for me that ultimately walked away when they found that I was a Republican. And it's because my big stupid mouth, I admitted it. So basically, it's like, you know what? Okay, you've had your fun. Screw you. That's it. We're done. We're done, and we're doing our thing.
Sounds good.
And I'm not acknowledging, I'm not neither confirming nor denying what your friend has said.
Yeah.
I won't confirm or deny that there's any underground groups. I'm just saying is that if anybody ever wanted to start one, people like your friend need to not talk about it. And that's just that. It's really, you know, I'm not saying anything like that exists or doesn't exist. It would be great if it did. I don't know. But if in fact it was to happen, you know.
But that's exactly what I disagree with, because you know what? If you're going to say, I understand it's about protection and about not having retribution, and I understand that, but I think by trying...
What is it? Wait, what do you think? What do you
did you just say that by having these groups, if they exist or not exist, a lot of that's about... It's about retribution. Like, you don't want to be retaliated, right? You want to be able to live your life and be able...
No. It's about us. It's about someday. It would be nice if a group like that existed, because then we could actually have our own say someday. It's about our retribution, not about fear of retribution.
Okay, but
that's
just
already
saying,
happened.
Yeah, but I'm saying all the anonymity and all the like, don't talk about it. I just feel like there's I know too many people personally, and apart from groups or whatever, throw that aside, that are so afraid to stand up for what they really think because of they're going to be marginalized in the workplace, they're going to be discriminated, and we're not just talking like actors and stuff. We're talking about just people in LA.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, by that intimidation factor, it's shutting people up. And I think when you have fear, you have people quiet, you're losing that presence of so many people. But
if there's stuff going on in the background, okay, we'll take it away from the show business thing and the supposed secret groups. But we'll just take regular civilians. If they're being quiet, they're being quiet publicly, but they're not being quiet privately. And the movement is there, and the conservatives are showing up for Tea Party rallies, and they're showing up in big numbers at meetings and election circles, and they're showing up at Republican events and Tea Party events that are dinners and this and that and another thing.
Isn't that kind of like preaching to the choir? You get a bunch of Republicans all hanging out together. I mean, about actually the people that are moderate or the people that are looking for the truth that are in between, you know what I mean? And what about reaching out to them as opposed to just...
Well, they do, but they do it quietly because, look, you have to put bread on the table. And the thing is, too, is that, you know, sometimes you just dine to preach to the choir. Sometimes you don't have the cathartic thing like a radio show necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're just a workaday accountant in Century City and you just cannot speak freely about what you really believe amongst your coworkers, mm-hmm. well, then you got to find that choir to preach to.
And I understand that, but I also think that the more intimidation and the more people stay quiet in those places.
But it's not for long. You see, that's the thing. It's like first you have the groups get together and then they come out publicly. So, in other words, you know, there's a certain amount of practicality to the whole thing because they will be ostracized at work and they don't want that. They're not in the political game. They're not in entertainment. So, you know, they don't really have the outlet that they'd mm-hmm. like to have. They can't be TJ McCormick and go on KTLA and yap about it, you know. So they have to find that choir to preach to. And once they have that confidence level and they can even learn how to talk about it, some of these people don't even know how to express what it is they're feeling. So I see what you're saying, and I get it. It's like, well, it perpetuates the silence. But you have to start somewhere. And before they're going to come out and say, I'm a conservative in Los Angeles, first they have to find the other conservative and know that it's okay and that there's strength in numbers.
Right.
You know? So you have to start somewhere, I think, is the idea.
Sounds good. And on that note, we're going to take a break. TJ,
yeah,
thank you so much.
I'm out. Thank you so much, guys. A really cool conversation. I appreciate you.
Definitely enlightened us and stuff.
Buddy.
And congratulations for being on TV.
Thank you, man.
And getting your word out there. How many people
think
were there?
Oh, the actual rally?
Yeah.
More people than listen to the hack.
Okay. So,
but that's not saying much. That could be, you know. No, it wasn't much more than a few dozen, to be honest with you. But it was it was early in a work day. See, that's the other thing, too. Conservatives work.
Yeah.
So if it was a liberal rally, there'd have been plenty of people available because then, you know, what we'd do is get them off their couches.
Yeah.
We were talking about having to get people out of their offices.
That's funny. Yeah.
All right. TJ McCormick, everybody, listen to him weekdays 7 to 9.
Yeah.
And he's definitely got a lot to say.
Thank you.
And he says it fast.
I'm a radio guy.
He's a radio guy. All right, everyone. We're taking a little break. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk station. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Above and beyond. proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, I can't get this out of my mind. This guy has a lot to say.
TJ?
Yeah, and he said it fast, and she goes, well, he's a radio guy.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, he does have a lot to say.
That's interesting. That was a very heated recap, but I love it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Now you know what he did yesterday.
And, no, I actually watched it yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah, I watched it.
I know. It was all over the news.
Yeah, I actually saw it on Facebook, and I tuned in and took a little look, see what he was up to.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, do your thing. Represent. Get out there. Represent.
So how are you doing this morning?
Oh, man. I mean, not to sound like, you know, people get older. They talk about their health all the time, so I try not to. But I've been under the weather, which I had a sore throat and stuff. But it's taken a while to recover.
Really?
Yeah. I've been drinking. I need to drink more water probably, but vitamins and stuff.
Well, but it obviously not that serious. I mean, I can't really tell you're sick, you know. So
I don't really talk about being sick when I'm sick that much. But
you don't have to talk about it, but you can tell, you know, if you've got like a head cold or something.
Yeah, no, it's like a post nasal drip, just, everybody that's at home and gives a shit.
Yeah.
Don't worry, go back to your amazing lives. I wouldn't give a crap either. I have to
rant about.
Please do.
Yeah, what we just talked about here on the break, and that is the those Mexican gardeners that show up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, okay.
And start their lawnmowers and blowers and everything else. And wake you up every fucking day. It's a different building, you know? And they all have to start at 7:30 on our street, you know? I mean, can you imagine, like, being awakened every day to...
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man, you know?
That happens over at our place, but it's usually in the afternoon. But it still bugs me in the afternoon
because
I'm trying to get work done or something, or I'm trying to live my important life. And it's like 3 in the afternoon, but still, it bugs me hardcore, so I can't imagine it at 7.
Yeah. So, I mean, if anybody's looking for an idea for a business, why don't you invent, like, fucking garden tools that don't make noise, you know? I mean, that might be a great idea, don't you think?
Yeah, the blowers, it's intense. Or the 50 different trash companies that come and pick up trash.
Yeah, that's pretty loud, too.
Yeah.
But they don't come there that early, at least not on my street. But but these motherfuckers, okay, have no fucking clue that they're waking up the whole street, you know, the whole neighborhood. And it really irks me. I don't know what to do about it.
Sam, when you cuss, it cracks me up.
You like it?
It's just funny to me, because you're just not a mean man, but you're like,
but what does it have to be with mean? Yeah,
it's not. I just think it's really funny.
It's just anger, you know?
It just cracks me up.
No,
you're all like primitive. You get all primitive. You're like, these mother...
I know. When I'm angry, man, I open my mouth.
Really?
Sure, yeah.
Have you ever gotten in major trouble for your mouth?
No.
No, you're not that guy.
No, I'm not. I don't pick fights and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I try to stay away from those.
Have you ever been in a physical fight?
Maybe very early in life, but I can't even remember the last time.
Yeah, you're not a confrontational guy.
No, I avoid these things.
Yeah, well, like that's the way to go. You know? That's the way to go. But have you never found yourself in a situation that almost could turn into a fight? Or
No. You see, I think maybe it's like a leftover from when I was young. I was just thinking about it the other day. I have this image that I can't get out of my mind when I was really little, and I went with my dad to the movies.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, we went and got something to eat, and suddenly there's, like, this altercation, and I see my dad, like, on the floor fighting this guy, you know, physically.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I'm, like, standing there going, what the hell is going on, you know, and people were just holding me there while they were fighting, you know. So I think maybe that's why I stayed away from fights.
Did your dad lose or win?
I don't know. I don't know what happened, you know, but, I mean, it wasn't like it was bloody or anything.
Yeah, that's traumatic for a kid to see, though, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
I know. I must have been no older than 5 or 6, you know?
You know, I had dysfunctional everything, right? So my sister was like 10 or 12. No, she was like 12. And we were walking home from school one day, and she had a loud-ass mouth. I mean, just a loud mouth. And it just, you know, troubled kids like to fight. I just think they got issues. It's the way that they do it. They get their aggression out. And then maybe it's not troubled. Maybe it's just part of personalities growing up. She's about 12 years old, and I was walking home with her, and she got into this
awful, awful fight. And I just remember sitting there crying as a kid. Mm-hmm. And this girl jumped on my sister's back and started pulling her hair out and had clobs of her hair. And my sister's throwing punches. My sister's ghetto. She is thugged up. I mean, she was just like, I mean, you know, people that they go into like a different state, mm-hmm. you know? Like they're throwing punches, there's hair being pulled, you know, women.
Yeah, you lose it. I mean, you lose any reason when you fight.
Yeah,
you know?
You're just going into like animal mode. My sister was like that all the time. Like when we would get, did you guys get spankings when you grew up?
No.
You never got a spanking?
No.
Okay,
no.
Well, we would get some spankings and my sister would never just, which I think is kind of smart, but kind of not. But she would, the idea of bend over, you're getting a spanking.
Uh-huh.
Like she would never, she's like, fuck that. I'm not going to bend over. Are you kidding me? Yeah, you want me to sit here and literally take it? No. Yeah. So she would throw the biggest fit. She'd punch. She'd fight back. She'd scream.
Really?
She was smart. So she'd get on the phone and call the police and act like she was getting beat.
Uh-huh.
Police would show up at her house because she was going to get, I mean, she made this huge, huge production out of spankings.
Yeah.
It was hysterical. But there's something about being an observer at that age, watching it. I mean, it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I think when you grow up around crazy chaos or something, even though I'm dramatic and everything, I would never, I never wanted that. I'd learned personality and learned how to talk my way out of stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I got close to fights like road rage and things like that, you know, but exchanging words.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to be crazy, you know, if someone would like really pull something on me or honk at me or something, I would just stop the car and get out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and walk towards their car. And that's dangerous to do.
That's,
you know?
Really dangerous. So what would happen? Would they get out?
Nothing. I would just, usually they just take off, you know, they're afraid.
Mm.
But no, I never got into anything physical or violent, you know. I don't have it in me.
I was turning a corner in my car, turning a left, and I almost ran over a guy on his bicycle.
Really?
Yeah, it's not funny, but it was just bad, and it was totally my fault. Totally
right.
My fault. I pulled into the gas station to pump my gas, and the guy comes back on his bicycle. He knocks on my window before I'm even out of my car. I'm like, oh crap. As soon as the window comes down, he's like, do you know? And I said, listen, I am so sorry. I was way out of line, and I was just not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sorry. I apologize. It was awful.
Yeah.
And he goes, wow.
Yeah.
Because I've never
totally diffused
it. He's like, I never heard anybody just own it.
Yeah.
He goes, thank you so much. He goes, don't worry about it. And he drove off on his bicycle.
There you go. That's how you diffuse
it. And
fight,
it was true, though. I mean, I was so wrong. I was like, thank God I didn't hurt him. I mean, I would hate to have hurt someone's life just because of some accident.
Yeah.
I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that definitely beats those that, you know, pull something on you and then they're mad at you.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I told you about that one time when I pulled up to the gas station and this girl, meanwhile, no one's at this gas station. There's like four other pumps.
Mm-hmm.
I pull up, I'm there first, and this big, big, like, Cadillac comes in front of my car and wants me to back up.
Really?
And I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, it really wouldn't have been a big deal for me to back up my car, but I'm sitting there going,
yeah,
there's all these different options, and you're going to want me to inconvenience. So I got into an issue with the girl.
Did you really?
Yeah, she came over and gave me attitude.
Really?
Yeah, and
wow.
She's a black girl, and I was just thinking it because I was going to a church that's predominantly black, and I was just laughing myself because I was thinking about how much I respect black women because they are confident and they don't they just don't take crap and they defend themselves, and there's something about that gusto that I really respect, and I remember thinking, you know, I want to be more like that. And as soon as I thought that, I think this is really funny, because then this happened. I pull up, and then this girl tries to give me attitude, and I give her a little bit of attitude back. And then she walks over to me. I'm like, oh, I'm really not ready for all this. Like, I don't really know how this is going down. I mean, she just was, like, up in my face.
Wow.
I mean, it didn't turn into a fight or anything. I just diffused the situation. Like, okay, no problem, whatever. You know, just move on. But it was funny that I was just thinking that. Everybody just handles conflict different as far as, you know, being confrontational.
Some people look for it, you know?
That's true.
Look for confrontation.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think they said something like, you know, violence is really, really linked to ignorance.
Mm.
And if you think about it, a lot of people that don't, like having our psychologist on yesterday, I mean, she was so great. And I think some of the things she said about emotional management, I think a lot of people don't know how to process things emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And they just react. That's what kids do. They get frustrated. They're hurt. They're upset. They don't know why they can't have this or why that this is happening, and they act out.
Right.
And it's just reaction. It's knee jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of comes from a place of not knowing how to manage or that's those are the skill sets that you've learned, as opposed to let's use your words.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, ignorance leads to a lot of things, you know? But there's people that, you know, they were raised on violence, you know, violence in the home, violence on the street, and they keep carrying on with them, you know? I mean, you know, you asked me if I've ever been spanked. I don't remember. And I never spanked my kids, you know. I never thought it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's tied to violence or anything, but the bottom line is, you know, I stay away from violence. You know, I stay away from confrontations. I do like verbal confrontations, though. I mean, I seem to be drawn to those.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see you being that confrontational.
Yeah.
Are you? Do you get in a lot of spats or like a lot
Not
of
in a lot,
those
you know,
discussions,
but I mean,
like we
yeah.
can talk?
If, yeah, if someone started with me, I would definitely go along.
You're so funny, Sam.
Why?
You're just funny. You're like, well, I would do it. I'm just saying. I would.
Yeah.
Watch out.
I'm just saying.
gosh, that's funny, man.
Yeah.
Confrontations. Yeah, people have a misunderstanding. Like Sarah and I, my roommate, we went to this Bible study, and it's a mix of different people, but a lot of them tend to be more accountants and engineers, that kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you got me, which is just the complete total opposite. And then I've said this before, the idea of the Bible study is to clearly learn more of the Bible, but also to have a safe place where people can be open and vulnerable and connect on a relational level and spiritual, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it requires people to kind of take off the mask and just be themselves and have fun. And the personalities just were not really meshing. It's just like, and it's good for me because it makes me learn how to stretch to kind of look at things from different people's perspectives and try to see. Because the things that are kind of easy for me are hard for some people, and vice versa. Some things that are really easy for other people are hard for me.
Right.
Like, I'm very relational, and it's a gift I have. It's just, you know, who the kind of person I am, and I always choose fun over work. I mean, not even a question. And I think of it's, and I know there's a lot of people that are so entrenched in work, and they're so beat down that they don't know how to unplug, and they don't know how to actually engage and be themselves. They're in the hamster wheel. You know what I mean?
Right,
gotta work.
Right.
Da, 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 da. So then you come to a place that's supposed to be about being relational, and they treat it like checking off the boxes, and they treat it like it's a work thing. It's like, no, this isn't about work. This isn't about checking off the boxes. This is about relaxing, getting to know one another. This is about intimacy, and you can't check off boxes with intimacy. You have to actually be vulnerable and expose your heart. I understand everybody's different, and it's harder for some people. Mm-hmm. So I'm the kind of person, and I just feel like it's the way I am. It's not something I set out to do. It's just the way I am. If something's awkward, I point it out.
Mm-hmm.
If something's uncomfortable, I don't avoid it. I usually go straight to it. A lot of people don't do that. They do the opposite. And we need all different types of people in this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've said a few times at the Bible study, like, yeah, we could use some wine in this group, or couple drinks or something like that, just making jokes about, come on guys, you know, let's get it, you know, let's up it a bit, let's just have some fun, and also just really kind of exposing things in my own life, hoping that other people feel more comfortable to expose things in their life, to kind of domino effect, to get people to feel open. And sometimes, like Sarah, it makes her feel uncomfortable because we're close friends, and I think it's more like guilty by association. She doesn't want people to think that she's that abrasive or abrupt or whatever you want to call it. So she's like, Kara, I just think that you're being too aggressive or whatever. And I'm like, I'm sorry, no. The reality is that, guess what? Feeling uncomfortable, it's okay. Having conflict, it's not necessarily bad. Let people sit in that awkward place for a second, because it can produce good things. And I see that conflict can be, you know, not gratuitously or with a mean spirit, but really kind of addressing the hard things can be good, because it brings forth life. It can get the conversation going. It can dispel the awkward vibe if people kind of, you know, work through it. But always sidestepping issues, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think all you do is you keep getting more of that. You keep getting more of this, like, everybody be PC. Everybody be, you know, don't rock the boat.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I agree. But not everybody can do, obviously, you know?
And you're right. No, they can't. Yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is that conflict is necessary for movement sometimes. It's necessary to actually go deeper in relationships.
Yeah, well, it depends what conflict. But, you know, I think we're talking about violence, I think, has no room anywhere, you know?
No, you're right. I wasn't making a correlation. I was just kind of spinning off the conversation. No, I don't think violence is
Yeah, no, I know.
A
I
component
know,
for I that know. At all.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this Bible study's
so
a little stale.
You're not into beating up on other girls and that.
I beat up my roommates all the time.
Do you?
But I love play fighting though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bite Claire a lot. Sarah's like 6'2", but she's a wuss.
Really?
She's just such a little girl. I can push her over. I can just I go up behind her when she's standing near the bed and I push her real hard and she falls on the bed and it like scares her a bit. But I'm like a little bulldog, so.
Yeah. How tall is she? Like 6'5" or
she's
something?
She's 6'2" without heels.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Can't go anywhere. It's the Sarah Show. It's the Sarah Show.
Yeah.
I'm just playing it. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take another break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
phone lines are open on Sam and Karen in the morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
I'm really dying to go out of town this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you going to go?
I don't know. I want to go, but I don't think I'm going to because the rest of the city is going to go somewhere.
Oh.
And I can't deal with the traffic. I've told you that. You know?
Can you get a head start? Like maybe leave Thursday or we've got the
show.
No,
I can't.
Right after Friday, Friday after the show.
That's when everybody's going to be leaving, believe
really?
Me. Really? Yeah.
Not original?
So I just don't enjoy trips, you know, where... You're sitting in traffic. It you know, on holiday weekends like this, or sometimes on Fridays, you know, it takes an hour just to get out of town.
There's got to be somewhere you can go that's like a little bit more not as popular.
Well, maybe around here somewhere.
Like Riverside. You know?
But what I'm saying is all the roads outside of town are packed, you know. I don't know what we're going to do about the traffic in this town. But it's really getting worse, you know, with all the new cars on the roads. It's just...
What do you mean new cars? People buying
new cars. People buying new cars all the time. And where do all the cars go? You know, there's just more and more cars on the roads, you know. And it creates a problem. You know, I mean, sometimes I'm just lazy to go places because I know I'm going to be sitting in traffic.
That's funny. I mean, it's not funny. I get it, but...
It's not funny.
So I want to ask you real quick. I'm looking at this on Yahoo News.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10 cities for the next decade. Now, you got to understand, because we've been through this economic, whatever you want to call it, fill in the blank, and then the housing and everything, and that everything's kind of changed and shifting.
Right.
As far as... And I know that because when I job search or when I go on interviews and I see that I'm one out of like a million people for like a little job,
right.
You go, I'm in a different time right now. Because there's things that should not be hard
mm-hmm.
that have become really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because I see it and I know a lot of people that are in the same position. And then I...
You mean economically?
Economically, the right. job market, mm-hmm. Just a lot of things. So things are different right now. So we're going to talk about what Yahoo has said, that the top best 10 cities for the next decade are going to be, considering the economic climate, business climate, things like that.
Right.
Let me ask you, what do you think is...
Number one?
Yeah.
Vienna.
No, I'm talking about the U.S.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, Vienna.
Well, let me look it up.
No, no, don't look it up. I want you to guess.
You tell me. Louisville, Colorado.
No, you take a guess. Take a guess.
I don't know. I don't know.
This one doesn't really shock me, actually.
Let me think about it for a minute. You're saying the best city to live in
the
United
next decade,
States?
And we're kind of this is how they preface it. They said, you know, basically we live in challenging times. Unemployment remains high. The U.S. lead in technology and science is slipping as many foreign countries gain ground. But some U.S. cities, though slowed by great recession, still thrive by lifting good old American innovation to new levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help out more Americans back to the work and keep our international edge. So they're kind of, that's how they preface it. New ideas generate new businesses, Kevin, whatever.
Right.
Okay,
well, I know what city.
What?
Honolulu.
No.
No?
You ready?
It says it was the top U.S. city at number 31, you know, out of the entire world, I guess. So, okay, you tell
we're
me.
We're not talking about the best. We're talking about innovation. We're talking about economy. We're talking about job market, things like that.
Right. Quality
the number
of
one
living.
Place they have is Austin, Texas.
Ah.
And that's what they said. Austin is arguably the country's best crucible for small businesses, offering a dozen community programs that form a neutral network of businesses, business brain power to help entrepreneurs. Sorry, I can't read. Now overlay that net with a dozen venture capitalist funds and 20 or so business associations, plus incubators, educational opportunities, and networking events, mix all these elements in what many call a classless society where hippie communalism, how do you say it?
Communalism?
Yeah, where hippie communalism coexists with no nonsense capitalism, and you've got a breeding ground for startups. It's so true.
Yeah.
And then it says, don't discount the fun factor, and it's the live music capital of the world. Anyway, it goes on and talks about the different festivals. So Austin is an amazing city. Have you mm-hmm. been there?
Yeah, I've been there for a convention. So I was there for about 3 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't that impressed with the place.
Really?
Yeah.
But did you get out and see it?
Maybe because I was on my own, you know? I mean,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So
it's like
you can't really enjoy the music.
It's like a big small town.
Right.
It has the best of both
but
worlds.
But it's very small.
It is very small, and a friend of mine that,
And I think that's what makes it good to live in, you know, because it's not packed, it's not crowded.
No, it's merging, it's still merging, but they're doing great. The second one, West Coast, where do you think, what do you think it is?
I don't know, San Francisco, San Diego, Santa Barbara.
Seattle.
Oh, Seattle.
It says rainy.
Why am I thinking of California?
Yeah, it says...
Yeah, I was actually going to say Seattle was the top one, but I think some people would beg to differ because of the weather there, you know?
Yeah, so Seattle is revising its tax, zoning, and permit policies to make them more business-friendly. Meanwhile, this sophisticated Pacific Rim city has other qualities recommend, including food, glory settings, outdoor culture. And they say basically one of the quotes that they have is, Seattle crackles with creative energy. We only have two products here, smart people and great ideas.
Mm.
And a lot of suicide, right? They left
Where,
that one
out. Where, in Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I
don't know. I've heard something about that because...
Yeah,
it was
in the past one of the top most cities for suicide.
Really?
Yeah, a while ago. I don't know if it still is. So I think it's funny. They're like,
yeah.
We have a lot of things to offer the city. Great people, great creative... It says, we only have two products here, smart people and great ideas. You forgot to mention a lot of, you know, lonely people that take their lives.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was dark. And I don't even know how accurate it is. My bad, people.
Yeah.
Third place.
Well, at least good coffee came from there, right?
Good coffee, yeah. Well, there's a lot of great things that came from Seattle. I mean, yeah. Grunge music back in the day in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
I've never been to Seattle. I would love to go, though.
I've been to Seattle. It'll remind you a lot of Vancouver. Have you been to Vancouver?
I've never been to Vancouver.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, they're both like port cities, you know, and it's and they're both kind of – they're not big cities or anything. But I was reminded a lot when I went to Seattle, you know, and they're very close to each other, too.
Yeah.
So it was a very pleasant experience. It's a really cool place.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But the rain, it didn't bother you? Oh,
it actually
rain.
Didn't rain when I was there.
Oh, really?
But I wish it had, yeah. And, yeah, because I love rain, you know, although I don't know that I could deal with it every day, you know, for months on end. But at the same time, it was definitely a great place to be.
Mm, I hear you.
You know, I wouldn't mind living there at all.
Our third place that they have on the list is a political city.
A political city?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Washington, D.C.
There you go.
Yeah.
It says... the region is chock full of job prospects, entertainment venues, and great neighborhoods, and it is booming. Even 11 of the 25 richest counties in the U.S. are located in the region, which also boasts a low unemployment.
Well, a lot of politicians, rich politicians there, of course.
Yeah, 11 of the 25 richest counties. That's something to brag about. Okay, the fourth one, I wouldn't expect this one, in the Rocky Mountains.
Colorado.
Boulder.
And somewhere in Colorado.
Boulder,
Colorado.
Yeah. It says Boulder is a wealthy, intellectually hot spot where environmental and scientific ideas blossom into businesses. Three economic drivers powers Boulder, the University of Colorado, federal research laboratories, and more than 6,600 small businesses and corporations all woven into an entrepreneurial fabric. The city is also a mecca for those seeking healthy, active lifestyles, outdoor enthusiasts, and then it talks about more of the surrounding terrain.
Yeah.
But I always thought that Boulder was kind of a sleepier but affluent town that
It is.
But I just you know, they're talking about that it's kind of have the makings of business building. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that. Number five, very Mormon, Salt Lake City, Utah.
Mm-hmm. Very Mormon.
Says you can't beat the cost of living and doing business in Seattle. I'm sorry, Salt Lake
in
City,
Salt
Utah.
Lake.
Has relatively low wages, taxes and operating costs, plus it doesn't hurt that our offices are 15 minutes away from ski resorts. Okay.
Right. So it is talking about business mostly.
It's talking, I think, mainly business, innovation, and then lifestyle.
Right.
You know, those components, primarily first business, because they're looking kind of the next 10 years and rebuilding, and we just talked about how LA has bad business climate. But it's had bad business climate for a long time. I'm sure you know that. And then just how hard it is to really thrive in Los Angeles, and with the amount of people that are attracted to come here. And then there's all these just stipulations.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things, you know. But, I mean, there's many things wrong with L.A., and I don't think – I mean, is it even ranked on there?
Oh, I'm not – that's my point. I don't expect to see it on here. Are you kidding me?
No.
It's got one of the highest unemployment rates. No, it's not on here. One of the highest unemployment rates is in L.A., and it's one of the what's interesting is that there's so much in L.A., so – from my experience is that things that should be easy are really hard, but there's so much more of everything here that I just have to go through more. Like I have to do it 10 times harder.
Yeah.
And whereas some places may have not as many no's, but the amount of no's that they don't have compared to what they even have in their inventory mm-hmm. is still small.
Yeah.
So they may have like a 10 yeses, whereas, anyway, that's hard, that diagram. I lost myself in that. Okay, I'm going to go through the list a little quicker. I have to go to the bathroom.
Thank you.
Six is Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you know anything about Rochester?
No.
Talks about synergy among the city's resources has been well cultivated and is paying dividends. Take, for instance, the Minnesota Partnership for Biotechnology and Medical Genomics. Genomics. G-E-N-O-M-I-C-S. I'm exposing my ignorance, people.
Genomics?
Yeah, genomics. I don't know what that is. Okay. Anyway.
The Genome Project. Don't you know what that is? The genome, it's the DNA of
Yeah, but I didn't know how to pronounce it. Genomics.
Okay.
That's all. Did you even took a second to pronounce
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard it.
Yeah. Seven is Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines. this is like story time with Kara with the book, and she's learning how to pronounce the words with like rabbits and whatever. Screw you guys.
Well, it is a French name, but okay.
It says the city is working to lure back young Lowens and attracting global talent by developing its downtown and promoting the jobs available in the many industries that flourish here. Other big draws, low-cost housing, plus the city's long-touted reputation for family friendliness. Whatever. Yeah. Burlington, Vermont. You know anything about that?
No.
Boring. Nine, West Hartford, Connecticut. I would go visit. It's probably pretty, but whatever.
Yeah, it is pretty there.
And then the 10th one is Topeka Canyon.
Mm.
Kansas.
Topeka.
Topeka, Kansas. oh man, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we'll have to move to one of those cities.
The only place I would love to have a place at is Austin, because Austin has a beautiful wraparound lake that you can run around. That is huge. It's great for runners. There's a lot of kayaking, canoeing, a lot of lakes. And there's a lot of great food. There's a lot of music. But my friend, he's like, South by Southwest is great. He's like, Austin City Limits, great. But then you do it, you're like, I've done Austin. Done.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
like, done.
Yeah.
So I don't see myself staying there forever. But there's something I like a little bit about.
Yeah. You know what occurred to me when I was there is how flat everything is. There's no mountains. There's no
valleys. Well, in Austin, there's hills and stuff. But I mean,
I didn't see any.
Yeah, I don't think you got out much.
It's flat.
You need to get out. When you go there, you need to go. You need to, like, check it out because you can't just stay in that
Well, I didn't... Yeah, I mean, I didn't have that much time to check it out, but I know the ride
to the
airport...
What convention were you at?
What?
What convention were you at?
NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters.
Oh.
I was there, like, a couple of years ago, I think.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. But like I said, you know, when you go out at night and stuff and there's nobody with you... It's not the same, you know, going to dinner or going to some kind of a musical venue or that, you know, it's not the same. So maybe that was that, you know. I'm not a good convention goer. I think usually those that go to conventions, they find their hookers and
really?
Yeah.
I thought
you
just go and meet friends and go out for dinner
Why
and
do you think all the conventions are in Vegas, you know?
I think Vegas has the capacity to hold a lot of conventions. They have...
Not only that, I mean...
It's so
most cities, but...
I mean, they're thinking about moving Comic-Con to Vegas, because Comic-Con has gotten so huge, and it's so Hollywood now. I worked Comic-Con last year, and it's just like... I worked with the Dexter Show, and I worked outside right outside the convention with all these different promo companies, and... It was flooded with people outside the convention, and people were like, you don't even want to go in there. You can barely walk. And it went from a smaller, more niche-type market to very Hollywood. And they're like, well, where else can hold? They're like, well, where else can hold this amount of people? Because it sold out so quickly that if they could have sold twice the amount of tickets, they would have sold out that too. And right. So they're considering Vegas now.
I see.
And people don't really wanted to go to Vegas because they want to keep that niche kind of smaller feel. But... as far as capacity goes, they're like, what else holds? And they said Vegas. So I think a lot of the attraction of Vegas is Vegas and the fact that it has the ability to hold.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, it is anonymous. But I think, you know, I haven't lived there and stuff. I think people go there for conventions mainly to get away, do things that nobody at home will know about. And, you know, gambling, prostitutes, things like that. There's a lot of it going on in Vegas. What? Are you like stunned?
No, I'm not stunned. I'm just taking it all in. I'm like, That's like why when I get married to whoever,
I'm going to be the one that travels. I don't want to.
So he'll stay at home and find a prostitute.
Well, I don't really think. I know, good point, right? No, I don't. I mean, I think whoever you marry, like, you're going to just have ultimate trust. Like, you know, it's not even going to be an issue because you're going to trust each other. But
yeah,
I just think.
You can't hook up with someone if you don't trust them.
Exactly. You're right. But I just think to myself, well, it's about eliminating that temptation because I think we're all capable.
Right.
For some people, it takes a lot more to get them to that level to do that.
Right.
But I think, you know, not that they even would, but that they're capable. So, and I think men are just hardwired differently than women. Yeah. Like, I don't want to marry an actor that does makeout scenes with other women and bonds with other women on set. I don't want to do that.
You couldn't handle it.
No, I wouldn't handle it because it's not that he's doing anything wrong. And I don't think it's wrong if I'm married and my husband's an actor to kiss other actresses. It's part of his job. But what does concern me is that how men are wired and that it would in bonding and that stimulus that it would be harder and maybe for him to, you know, unplug and not compare and be able to let go of it. And I think as a woman, I don't know, I think I'd be able to just, you know, done. It's a job.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I don't know.
I don't know that I could handle it either, you know, and especially when you see many people.
They shack up, right?
Yeah, they hook up.
Yeah,
I mean, how can you not? You know, you're in an intimate scene with someone, you're kissing, you're hugging, you know, sometimes you take off your clothes, and yeah, I mean, that's fertile ground for cheating.
Yeah, I exactly. It's just like it's just I wouldn't want to put my husband in that position.
Yeah, and believe me, I know. I read Jackie Collins' books.
That's funny. But I mean, like, if your wife was on set and she's having just a kissing scene and it's for a movie, how would that make you feel?
You see, I don't know. I mean, I'd have to be in that situation.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It really depends on the nature of your relationship. I think. You know? If you feel that they're gonna stray, then yeah, of course you're not gonna be for it.
Well, even so, I don't know if I have I don't know if I'm too jealous of a person to deal with that.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, my man's not touching anybody but me.
I see.
You know? Okay. He's not. The mouth is not going on another woman.
Uh-huh.
If it does, it's getting a fist.
I see.
Pop.
Okay,
in the
mouth. And a kick in the ass.
Oh, yeah. A kick in another place, too.
Yeah.
A squishier place.
Out the window.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to handle it.
Yeah. Were you ever cheated on by anybody?
Not to my knowledge, no. I had my suspicions, but nothing confirmed.
Really?
No. Mm. I was involved with somebody on and off for a few years. Mm-hmm. That was a comedian that was on the road. And so it wasn't, you know, I don't really know how to describe it other than on one level I felt a sense of security because of the attraction that we had for one another. And anyway... At the same time, the nature of the job of being on the road and seeing how it can impair people relationally, even if they're not cheating on you, you can see how they're impaired relationally for intimate relationships. Mm. A part of it's personality, but part of it's also just, you know, you have no foundation. Mm-hmm. You can do anything and there's no accountability, there's no responsibility. And the fact that... I see how it just kind of screws with people's brains. And so that, I think, like you said, breeding grounds for you know, fooling around and stuff. I think that your ticker being off a bit from being on the road.
Uh-huh.
And so it made me suspicious. It made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think it can get very tempting if you go on the road, you know?
And I mean, all the time.
Especially a performer.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's women around you and that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you can argue, well, that person's a comedian or they're... this person I'm talking about is an older guy. I mean, older. He's not old, but older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really attractive on stage because of his charisma and stuff. But if you just look at him, he's an average-looking dude. Like, he's not somebody that you'd be like, oh, my gosh, he's so hot. It's not like – so I never felt like, oh, this is a guy that's so hot. You know, it's not like that. But it's his talent that makes him really attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And believe – there's crazy girls out there. Like, who's the dude that we had? We had these two dudes from Combat Radio.
Right.
What's his name?
Ethan and Eric.
Yeah, the comedian. Which one was that?
Eric.
Okay, so Eric's, you know, average-looking dude. Like, not anything to write home about. No offense, Eric. But he's not like Brad Pitt. And he's got girls coming up to his hotel room. Knock, knock, knock.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing? We want to party. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that to me is funny that this guy who's totally average Joe is – ladies are throwing himself at him just because he's on the stage. And he said that himself. You know, they have a weird kind of... Yeah. So even... That is even weird for me. That's why I'm like, I'm the diva. You need to go be in business or something.
Yeah, because wouldn't that be great, like, to be in somebody that can understand and support you in your field, but they're in a different field, because then you two have so much more to bring to the table as far as the differences, mm-hmm. as opposed to you're both actors, you're both comedians, you're both musicians, and that's your world, and that world becomes so insular, as opposed to these two different worlds coming together. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no opinion about that.
Perfect. Perfect. I love it. Love it. Yeah. When you have no opinion.
So, I mean, would you like to go somewhere on the weekend? I mean, do you?
I didn't even think about it, but yeah, let's do it. Let me know where I'm going. I'm just playing. Come on, guys, call in. Where are we going? Let me know. Yeah, what would I do? San Diego's a great idea.
Yeah, San Diego's
good. Like you said, I mean, there's this... I didn't even think about the traffic.
It's going to take you double the time, probably 4 hours to get there.
Maybe it's great to stay in L.A. because then you can get around town quicker. Like, exactly. I actually don't mind staying here for Christmas now because it's just so relaxing.
Yeah, it gets
relaxing.
Empty. I remember in 1984 when we had the Olympics here in L.A., you know, everybody prepared for it and that, and people thought that this town is going to be just crawling with people where you wouldn't be able to move. So what happened, a lot of locals moved away or took a vacation or something for a couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
So what ended up happening is this town was empty.
You
know?
Really?
Yeah, it was the best time, you know.
Oh,
and the
man.
People that stayed here sort of like shared the Olympics mood and vibe and that. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I would maybe it's going to be nice cuz Christmas, man, it's so breezy easy around here. It's mm-hmm. like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's great.
I know.
It's relaxing.
Can you imagine that less what, like, 6 months and Christmas is going to be here?
I don't
want
to think about
six,
that.
6-7 months. Time flies. Time flies. We're getting older fast. You know?
It's a long weekend, so Friday to Monday. Have you heard you can just fly standby, just show up to an airport and see if they have anything opening, and then you pay?
Yeah.
Really? Did you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what standby is, isn't it?
No, I thought standby, well, yeah, technically you're right, it is standby, but usually people buy a ticket and then they are flying. They know if they get a deal, they know they're flying standby, or they've been bumped from a flight and they're on standby.
Right.
But Sarah was going to just go to the airport and just buy a ticket.
Really? And what if there's nothing? She has to come back home.
She has to wait.
God.
She didn't end up doing that because she got a really good deal.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, why would you do it anyway?
I don't know.
If you had to leave and there's no flights?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I know you're
saying,
but it's irrelevant.
I'm just wondering. Maybe I'll go somewhere.
Actually, the beach sounds good.
There you go. Get
the
beach on, man.
If it gets warm enough, we'll go to the beach.
Get your beach on.
You know, I used to ride bike there all the time, you know, on the bike path and that, and it's really peaceful.
Mm.
Even when there's a lot of people, it's just peaceful there.
Yeah.
You know, the breeze and it's cool. I mean, have you ever done that? Do you like biking?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I took my little brother there one time. We went rollerblading. I fell down.
Did you?
Yeah, just fall in the sand. You're good. Just like fall off to the right.
Yeah.
Fall in the sand.
You never learned how to do it?
No, I mean, it's just something that I'm actually really good at roller skating or rollerblading, but I don't know, lost my balance or something. It happened, Sam. Shoot.
Yeah.
I got to go to the bathroom. Are we going to, like, go to a break or something?
We're going to take... Oh, well, if you want a bathroom break, we'll take one.
Okay.
Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Starting line, trapped on a circle that spins around. gay Eurotrash rock. Let's get back. Let's get to Sam and Kara in the morning.
Kara in the morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is the one where you always...
What?
This is the one where you usually air guitar it.
Oh, okay. I'll air guitar. Yeah. So Facebook did an about face, and they decided that they're going to change their privacy.
About damn time, right? Yeah. It's a little too late.
I guess what they did is they suddenly made everybody's stuff public, you know?
It's awful because there's these couple of these websites that have extracted information, some via Facebook. And now you can go to these websites and look up anyone and get their credit score or their estimated credit score, their address, phone number, all that stuff.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I've looked it up.
And where would you get a credit score from that?
You have to purchase some of the features,
uh-huh.
And then they say that they have it. But I looked up some people that I knew to see if it was accurate. And like my aunt, for example, like her address was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And a few other things, but they didn't have anything on me because I'm a fucking nomad. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
But you know, you can find out a lot about people. You know, I've seen those like people search kind of sites, and my God, I mean, there's so much information because they glean it from public records.
Yeah,
stuff,
well, you know? it's what's not cool. This is funny. So this guy that I met via online dating, right? Mm-hmm. Do not reveal what station I'm on. I do not go into that. I just, right. I don't do the Facebook thing. I don't do anything. I'm like, I need to have some kind of trust and attraction first before I go into that.
Right.
So, but this guy, he's like, well, you know, we were joking around and he said, well, if I wanted to, I could find out what mm-hmm. station you're on and I can find out this information. And right. I was like, oh, really? He goes, you want to dare me?
Yeah.
And all
Does he have your full name?
No.
Okay,
he just had my
so
first
he would
name.
Never fucking find you.
He found out. He found out, all he knew was my first name, and I shouldn't have been this stupid.
Mm-hmm.
All he knew was my first name.
Mm-hmm.
He said he has all these different search engines, and he said I'm too good at this stuff.
Well, actually, maybe if you put in like Kara and radio.
Yeah, it comes right up.
Really?
Yeah, do Kara.
Kara and radio.
Yeah, see what comes up.
Yeah. Let's see. No, it doesn't come up on page one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let's see if we keep on looking.
Well, he said that he found out like right away. And then, you know, that's why I need to change my email address because my email address is on the website.
Really?
Yeah, to LA Talk Radio, Kara at LA Talk Radio, as opposed to my first and last name at mm-hmm. Gmail.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of Kara's on radio.
Really? Well, they need to get the hell off.
there's a link here. Kara's radio show significantly improves my life.
Who is that?
I don't know. I don't know if it's about you, but it's a Facebook page.
Really?
Yeah, a group. But I don't think it's you.
Hmm. Well, who knows? We're going to find out.
Yeah.
We're going to find out what's going on. Tell all these
no,
people
to get
off.
No, that's not you. So I don't know how he figured you out. Let's see. Maybe Kara Radio in L.A.
Well, yeah.
There you go. Number 3.
Oh, really? That's all?
On Google. That's all.
That's all. I'm not a star yet. What? That's funny.
Yeah. There's a Kara Diogardi.
Oh, she's a host of she's a
you
host.
You know
of,
her?
Well, she's a host. Yeah, she's a host on whatchamacallit, American Idol.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. A judge.
Yeah, she's a judge.
Oh, I see. Okay, so there's a headline to host LA radio show, that she's about to host an LA radio show.
Yeah, I don't find her compelling at all. I don't know if you've watched it, but
no.
She's not very compelling.
Obviously, I didn't even know who she was. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they wanted to put somebody a little younger that's relevant in the industry, and she is relevant in the industry, and she's legit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. She did this one episode where she got on stage and actually performed and then took off her clothes into a bikini because it was supposed to be a spoof of another girl that did that.
Uh-huh.
But you can tell she did it because she wanted a little bit of attention, which I don't blame her. I mean, I'm an attention person. But it's like, you know that saying, those who can't teach. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people that they didn't hack it as an artist, and they're like, I'm in the music industry now. And that's kind of the vibe I get.
Yeah.
She's like, I could have been a singer. I'm a singer. And she did like a song. I'm like, well, if you're an artist, you're an artist, or you're not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't... people that are really sold out for their art, they don't really take the back seat. Mm-hmm. I mean, they may merge into different things like production or still writing or developing in some ways, but she's kind of like, I don't know. I'm not buying it. It's like a hack to
me. You're not buying it.
I'm not buying it, man.
Oh, okay. Then don't buy it.
Mm-mm.
So now why would you even give him your first name? If you don't want to find
out anything. This is all experimental. I'm learning it. I've changed my name
now. Now you've learned.
I've learned. And so now you know what my name is?
Mm.
Bambi.
Bambi. Sounds like a porn star.
I think it's hysterical. Bambi. No, it's not really my name. I'm not going to tell you guys.
Name.
I'm not going to tell you all my name.
No?
But no, I've changed it.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't know where to find you anyway with all these dating sites, my God.
I know.
God.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And I stumbled across one dating site, which is very hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Speed dating, which I said it was...
Speed dating online.
It's like hot potato.
Really?
Every 2 minutes or every 3 minutes, somebody pops up and you can chat with them or deny them.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I've also heard of another chat room, a chat thing that is called chat roulette or something like that. I haven't looked it up, but some guy told me about it. It's just randomly connects you with people all across the globe and you can start chatting with them.
That's cool.
It's just like ring, ring, and just who comes up.
Yeah.
Chat roulette.
But that's not necessarily a dating.
It's not dating, but it's still that random kind of connection type thing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God,
I'd like to try that speed dating thing. That would be cool.
Well, I mean,
just to talk to people.
Well, I think they have chat roulette. Try that.
Chat roulette.
Yeah, try that. Chat roulette. Something like that. I've never looked it up, people, so don't take my word on it. I don't know. And the speed dating thing is funny because it's like hot potato. You don't have control over who you're going to meet.
Right, right.
You just... Yes,
so,
right.
And how long do you get with each one?
You get 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
And, but you can, so what, you can like, what, tag them or something to know that this one you liked and that one you didn't like?
I mean,
like?
You have paying options too if you want to become a paid member and then you can keep adding time to your chat.
Right.
I mean, I'm
but not.
But not
that. I mean, if let's say you talk to five people, would you know how to get back in touch with one?
Yeah, it gives you options.
Oh,
yeah.
It does?
It does.
Okay.
I discovered
what's the site called?
It's called speeddating.com.
Oh, really?
Speeddate.com, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I discovered it yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is funny. I'm going to figure it out. I'm just going to experiment so I have material, see what happens. But it is. What's funny about it, it's more the process that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I doubt you'll meet somebody. You can meet people anywhere.
Never know.
I mean, you know, I don't take it off the table because you can meet people anywhere. But what's interesting is that it's more of... the process that's like hot potato. It's fun because the time is ticking. You never know who you're going to meet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like shopping for a person because if you don't want to chat with the person because you're not interested or you don't think they look good,
right.
You click in chat and then it gives you a list of reasons why.
Right.
Not my type. I wasn't ready to chat.
Yeah.
There's not a photo. They're not responding, whatever. So you get these different options that you can click on and deny chatting with them.
Okay, well, that's cool. I mean, think about it. When you... In life, you do the same thing. It's just that you're spending a lot of time, I just got distracted. You're spending a lot of time...
Are you speed dating right now?
You spend a lot of time meeting new people. I mean, you know, each one is a date and phone calls and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And here you get to go through them quickly, you know?
I know. It's really interesting. It's like, I like that. I want that model, that make, that VIN number. I want more of a sports car, not a sedan.
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah. So, I mean, did you run into anybody interesting at all?
I did. I chatted with a guy that didn't even have a photo, but we just had a really cool chat.
Yeah?
Are
you going to follow up on that one?
I don't know.
You need a photo, don't you?
I mean, the reality is we were talking, he has a picture of himself way far away because but apparently his job is... with the government, he can't reveal his identity. It's kind of funny, but it's legit. But it's
I don't know if it's legit. It sounds
counter-terrorist position. I said, tell the government that you have to meet women. How are you going to do that?
Yeah, I don't know, but I can't imagine that's the reason.
And do you think it's ethically? I don't think it's wrong. It's not going to stop me. That when I have real life encounters or situations that I talk about them on the radio, everybody remains anonymous.
Right.
But that I use my real life to talk about on the radio.
Yeah, why not?
I don't think it's bad. But then one guy that I met was like, well, isn't that kind of mean to the guys that you're meeting that you're actually talking about the experience that you had? And I'm like, well, how is it mean? They're not going to know about it.
They shouldn't listen. Nobody would know who they are.
Nobody's going to know who they are.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
No, it's not bad.
That's why I don't want people listening because I'm like, look, this is my world, you know. Until you get the certified okay, just stay out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you decide who you want to talk about. I mean, who cares, you know?
Who cares? Nobody's that important, right?
Exactly. We don't know these guys anyway, so it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Kira, it's the end of the show.
I know.
And
I'm off to a photo shoot.
I'm very really.
Yeah.
What kind?
Amber that came in that did the Now workshops. I love your body now.
Right.
I'm one of her models.
Ah.
So I get to photograph body parts.
Really? Wow. Are you gonna put them up on Facebook so we can see?
When the campaign's done, I'm sure I'll promote it.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I'm sure you're gonna do very well.
Well, thank you very much. I'm gonna
yes,
love all my body.
I need to go get something to eat. So, everybody, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.